It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to the podcast. Well, it's Monday if you're listening to it as we air originally. And happy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to everybody else.
Yes.
I'm Stacy DeFord.
I'm Lynn Montemare.
And today we are tackling a topic that was actually a suggestion from one of our listeners. And it is probably the most precarious or one of the most precarious relationships in your life, the mother-in-law.
The mother-in-law.
Yes.
Yes, you even said it like... Like we're already setting it up.
In a spooky voice.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had a listener send us a text, and she said, I have an idea for a topic, mother-in-laws. Does every daughter-in-law have a great relationship with their mother-in-law, or are they more like her, where everything the mother-in-law says gets under her skin? She said, even though she's a good person, she feels like the mother-in-law is always intentionally taking a dig.
Okay, so when she says, even though she is a good person, who's the she there?
The mother-in-law.
Okay, so she knows the mother-in-law is a good person,
right.
Yet she feels like she's not measuring up, and the mother-in-law is letting her know subtly.
Subtly, yeah.
And it's funny, like, so we put this out there on social media. We've gotten a lot of responses, and I have to say the number one response we've gotten, or the number one phrase to use that the people have used, is passive aggressive.
Okay. Yes.
Which is very, I guess that is a good descriptive, because think about it. And it's funny because I mean, my daughter's 23 and is dating a young man seriously. So I'm starting to look at, oh, wow, I could end up being a mother-in-law in the next 5 to 10 years because I'm hoping they're taking it slow.
Right.
But, and it's different, I think, when your daughter brings a young man in. But you start to look at it from the other side, whereas, like, okay, I know, I'll tell you this. Like, in my house, especially now, I'm the only female. I'm the alpha female. But my daughter comes home. She doesn't live in our house anymore. And when she comes home for the holidays and she's in the kitchen or she's in, now she's in the way because she doesn't have an established
role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we're cooking, it's not like we're battling for place, but there's a subtle shift in the relationship.
But the difference is this is your daughter.
Well, of course.
Right.
But, so I'm trying to imagine
if your son brings the girl home.
Yeah. And it's funny. I wish I would have found this. I wrote an essay for Metro Parent Magazine. You can look it up. I'm sure it's still on the internet somewhere. Mm-hmm. When my son was 4 years old. Because he went through this long, protracted phase of proposing to first to me.
Oh.
And he proposed to me, and I was like, no, you can't marry me. I'm your mother, and I'm married to your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, you're not. You've never been a beautiful princess. So I had to pull out my wedding album and show him that indeed, aww, I had been a beautiful princess. And so then, and every time I would give him a reason that he couldn't grow up and marry me, he always had, you know, no, dad'll go away and blah, 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 blah. And then he started proposing to his sister.
Wait, isn't this a Shakespeare play?
Yes.
Or something?
He was four. And to the creepy people who wrote responses saying, you know, stuff, I was like, he was four. It was adorable,
right.
You know? And, but it did make me think then, like, someday this little boy is going to come home with a woman.
Yes.
And she is going to act probably the same way I acted to my mother-in-law, which is, I understand him more than you ever will.
Mm.
And I know it's going to take all my willpower not to pull her aside and gently say, you know, you're not the first girl he proposed to.
Oh, no. Whether it's true or not.
Well, he did propose
to me first.
Oh, well,
yes. First. Okay. Well, yeah. Then you'd have to get into that whole story. And then she'd be like, okay, I'm kind of creeping out right now.
So. No. Actually, I would just let
it
lie.
And then she leaves and elbows back.
Then it's passive aggressive. And I'm just letting that out there. But I can see how that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how, because think about it, your kids grow up and they become their own person. And then they meet the people who understand them at that period. And you might not you know, might not live in the same city, or you might not understand them in that period. I don't know. I had issues with my mother-in-law. She has passed away. So I do get to romanticize her now and our relationship.
How was your relationship?
Rocky at first.
Okay.
I had to establish some boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
There were some issues. I remember one time she called and was yelling at me about something about our wedding. And I just set the phone down and went in the next room and told my husband, your mom's yelling at me and she thinks I'm still on the phone. You might want to get in there and pick it up.
Well, good. So you like had your husband step in and
it's his family.
Right. That's what, from what I understand and things I've listened to and read, that's a really smart play.
So what's your relationship with your mother-in-law?
My relationship is really good. I first want to say that she's a great grandmother too. I mean, she's an awesome grandma. So like the best. As a mother-in-law, the best part about her, I think, is that she can take, like, she will give me something like what she calls, you know, she's just being honest. Like when she'll say something like, one day we came home, she's like, your lawn's covered with weeds. I said, oh, well, you know, if there was 8 days in a week, maybe that wouldn't happen. Or I'm sorry, maybe your son could pull some, is what I said. And she responds always when I get mad with, I'm just being honest. And but she's good at when I say, being honest is great when I asked your opinion, but just coming out and saying my lawn's covered with weeds isn't real helpful. It makes me more stressed. And, you know, why aren't you telling your son this? Right.
Why isn't she telling her son?
I don't
that?
Know. Well, because her son is, you know, the moon and the stars. And so we had this, and he's the youngest of five. So
my husband's the youngest too.
Okay. See?
So yeah.
We had this thing, but she's a very good sport. You know, when she says something and I call her out on it, she like laughs and is a good sport. She had this for years. She had this thing where no matter what Ken said, he was right. No matter what. And I'd be sitting there like with a facts, like an encyclopedia in front of me, you know, saying, no, it's right. No, if Ken says it, I have to believe it's right if Ken says it. It's
Oh,
my Lord. And then, so we even like jokingly set her up one time for him to say something really far-fetched. And it worked like a charm. She agreed. And I was in the car with him and I started cracking up. And I said, that is not true. And she's like, well, I could see his point of view. I said, no, it's absolutely false. Like it was a joke we set up before we got in here just to show you that you always agree with your son. And she started cracking up laughing. And then the other thing she did.
Wait, did she change after that, though? Or
no, she still does. No, she's better at not saying Ken's right all the time. I will say that.
I would hope.
And then another thing she did get better at that was like at the beginning, I just kept hitting my head against the wall. She acted like, you know, I was like, you know, Apple Annie that Ken got off the streets and, you know, bathed and put in some clean clothes and that he was providing all of this wonderful life for me, even though I had the same job and the same income as my husband did. And she said one time, oh, your birthday's coming up. What are you hoping to get? And I said, you know, I've always really wanted diamond earrings, you know. And she said, oh, Kenny just built you this nice new home. Can you just let him have a break for a while?
I was like, what? Kenny just built me a house? What? Who do you think else paid for that house?
I was like going crazy. And then one time we were interviewing a nanny and my mother-in-law happened to be there. So she sits down and starts saying, now, what are your hours? Because my son works very long hours and he works. And I'm sitting there and my head is just like getting ready to explode. And I said, excuse me, her son, my husband, we have the same exact job. So the hours are super similar. I have a job, you know, same job he has. And we worked at the same company for crying out loud.
Wow.
But yeah, so then she got better at that because Ken did stand up and keep saying to her, Mom, Lynn has the same job I do. In fact, for the first like X amount of years of our marriage, she made more than I did. So, you know, and it was really just upsetting that it always looked like I was just, you know, given this gift of everything being given to me on a silver platter and I'm not experiencing
it. And didn't
that
work
at all.
For it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, I was very fortunate in a way that my in-laws lived in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have, you know what I mean?
It wasn't the daily, weekly.
Exactly. Yeah. It was, now that did make the interactions when they happened much more intense.
Mm.
So, and my mother-in-law, lovely Jewish woman from the Bronx. And so we would go down and visit her and we would be staying at their house and I would get up and I hadn't even made it to the kitchen. And this every morning, what do you want to do for dinner? And finally, I was like, Lorraine, I can't even think about dinner before I've had a cup of coffee. You need to stop asking me that because my head is going to explode.
Right.
And it was just, and we, you know, we, so they were, it did, you know, it was nice that we was in Florida. We didn't have, it wasn't constant for me.
Right.
But again, when I had kids, their grandparents lived in Florida. So that did make difficult.
Right. That is true.
You know, I worked very hard actually to make sure my children had an ongoing relationship with their grandparents mm-hmm. in Florida. Mm-hmm. I made them call them. I made them, you know, have interaction. I made those little photo statues that you can made. I made photo statues of my in-laws for my daughter at first, because she was the first one born. And when she was tiny, and I made of all the grandparents because my parents lived like an hour away. And it was hilarious because it got to the point where she would not eat without her people.
Aww.
I need my people.
Oh, that's sweet.
I know, but I did. So I worked really hard to make sure that they did have a relationship. And I was also fortunate that when my husband and I got married, I was working on a radio show, mm-hmm. on a very popular radio show. So they thought I was a celebrity. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, you live the life. You have a son who thinks you're a princess bride.
I know.
In-laws who think you're a celebrity.
I have to bring up this, though. Of all, I wish I could meet this person. I put this out on Twitter, and one of our listeners responded. She said that her mother-in-law is so passive-aggressive. She said, for the last 2 years, I am her IT person. Whenever she needs anything done with her computer, she calls me. So this woman shows up and fixes her mother-in-law's computer, and the screensaver photos are of this woman's husband's first wedding.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The ex-wife, the ex-daughter-in-law.
The ex-daughter. The what? Yeah.
Come on.
I know. And I said, you are a better woman than I, because my first tech thing as the IT person would have been replacing that screensaver.
I was going to say a hammer through the screen. It would have been like, I think I see your problem. Who does that? You think she was literally doing it on purpose to be passive aggressive?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, from the mother-in-law's point of view, you know, I did some preparation for the show and I was looking up some things, and there was a list that came up saying 26 things your mother-in-law would love to say to you, but like doesn't.
Mm.
And one of them is, I know he's your husband now, but he's still my son. You know, I took my whole life playing the lead role, and now I'm a character in the show. And I thought, like, yeah, I can see that.
That's kind of what I was trying to say
at
the beginning.
Why I was sometimes these things, we're like yin and yang. I didn't even know what you were going to say, and I had that already set to go, and I thought, that's what this article was talking about. Like, you were the star. You were,
well,
and now
I
we're
think
just
the problem a B is, player. Though, is when, like I, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I when my son was proposing and I was thinking about that, like I realized
thinking about the proposal.
No, but I was when I was imagining the future, I was like, oh, eventually I am going to be a bit player in his life.
Yeah.
And that is what you want. You want to raise your children to be independent and not need you. So, you know, you can go on vacation.
Right. Right.
And do all that stuff that you didn't do while you were raising them. But I think there are some people who can't give up the control.
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably where problems come in.
Right. And speaking of passive aggressive, this article also talked about how one of the things a mother-in-law would like to say is, you know, I'd like to tell you this, but I'm too busy tiptoeing around to not say it, which I can see from her point of view too, because you like at the beginning of the show, the way you announced mother-in-law, and we were kind of joking.
Oh, yeah.
So you are, a lot of times you go in hearing growing up this fear of the mother-in-law.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, like my mom didn't have like the best relationship with her mother-in-law, my grandma.
Okay.
So I grew up, you know, knowing about that, regardless of in society, that's like a big thing, the mother-in-law. But if from the mother-in-law's point of view, you're so worked up now, like, you know, being the, if I'm ever get to be the mother-in-law of, you know, my son-in-law or daughter-in-law, I mean, if that ever happens, who knows anymore these days who's going to get married anymore? I mean, it seems like that's
right?
The last people want to do everything but get married, have kids, move in. No one's getting married anymore. So who knows? Maybe it'll be out of fashion. But if I ever get to be that, I'm already going to know that she is like, I'm already going to feel conscientious because she's thinking everything I'm saying is a dig when sometimes they just want to help. Like one of the things in here was like, why won't you take advice from me? For example, they use buying a house. I've bought and sold 13 houses, this article said. But yet you don't want to take any advice from me. I could kind of see like I would feel bad about that. And also bad about giving my opinion because I think she's already going to think, oh, my God, your mother's getting involved again.
Okay. So, okay. I see that about taking advice, but think about taking advice from anybody. Like say you're buying a house, even if it's your first house. If somebody just comes up to you and says, without you asking, hey, do you know what I would do? Do you know what I did each time I bought a house? Just throwing it out there, like, or even, you know what you should do? Instead of saying, hey, you know what? We bought 13 houses. If you want to ask any questions, I think a lot of it has to do with the approach. If you're just coming at it like, I bought and sold 13 houses. I can't believe you're not asking me. Here's what I would do. You're doing it wrong. Versus, I realize this is your first time and you want to do it yourselves, but we have done this a lot. And if you want to sit down and ask some questions, or if you want to use the professionals we've used, I think it's a lot of how you approach it.
But I think you just made me see something. So we, these children of ours, we raise them their whole lives. So now when they're going to get married, we can't separate the fact that we've spent their whole life giving them advice and telling them things that would hopefully prevent them from making mistakes that we made, right? So we're just trying to still help. I don't like right now always ask my daughter to, like, I'm not waiting for her to ask me for advice when I see something that she's doing that's probably going to end up, you know, to be a mistake. So you just kind of, you're just trying to be, I've done this my whole life, Kenny. You know, I've helped you my whole life. And now she's there. And now it looks like now I'm being this, you know, intruder when I'm just doing what I always thought I was doing, was just helping and saying, you know, I understand what you're saying. The approach is key to this. Key.
The approach is key.
But I think it's even like you have to train yourself in advance that now I have to have an approach is my point. Do you see? Like, I don't have an approach now to say, what are you doing? You know, you shouldn't have taken that many credits, blah, blah, whatever I might say to him right now. I'm not waiting for him. Like, I'm not, how can I approach him on the mistake he made?
No, but I do think a lot of it too is, so like my daughter moved, she's lived in Minneapolis, and the first apartment she got, like her company paid for her to go out and look for the apartment. And she said, will you come with me? So I went out there and I helped her. We looked at so many houses. I'm like, you should look at houses too. You should look at rentals. You should not look at just apartments, and because you don't know what's available. And so we looked at so many different things, and she ended up where she ended up. And then this summer she moved to a new apartment and did it all on her own.
Oh, okay.
I was not involved at all.
Wow.
And it's turning out to be not the best. It's very small. It's not, she's, yeah. And I'm like, but they have to make mistakes and learn. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they don't learn. If we just keep giving them advice, that's not something people learn from.
I do see your point, but I guess as a mom, especially in things like buying a house, for example, that's a big investment. That's you just kind of want to say, you know, you're really thinking from, like, I'm screaming, stop. This is don't do it that way, you know? But I know what you're saying about the mistake part, but it's such a crossroad you come to of watching them make this mistake and not wanting to say anything, but at the same time wanting to totally stop the situation because it's going to be hard for them to either get out of the house, make the payment. They're missing something. I mean, it's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And so maybe you have to start smaller, is what I'm suggesting, is you let them rent an apartment without getting involved.
Yeah.
And it's funny. So my daughter's going to have to buy her first car coming up. Mm-hmm. She still has the car that, you know, she got when she was in high school, but she's going to have to get a car coming up. And I'm like, what are you? Every once in a while, I just ask, what are you leaning towards? Oh, I like what I have and I like this. And then she just called me last week. She's like, I definitely need all-wheel drive. And I'm thinking, you live in Minnesota. Yes.
Yeah, of course you do. This was just you just now thought of this?
And I'm like, oh my God. And she's the smart one. No, I mean, not that she's the smart, but
yeah.
I did not say that.
No, not in that
out
way.
Loud. No, but she's the one who's very organized and thinks things through and has this all together. And my son's only 18. He doesn't need to think.
And by the way,
she's
not from Florida.
Exactly.
She grew up in Michigan too.
Yes.
Yeah. The roads are not good here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, okay, but, and she's, you know, it's hard because she is the one who thinks things through and plans things out. Like, I don't know what I would do if I had that child who was like me. Just, oh, wow, my lease is up. I'm going to need a place to live tomorrow.
Right.
I don't know what I would do if I had that child.
Yeah.
Oh. I think my parents were very fortunate that cell phones and all that stuff weren't around at the time.
Yeah.
Because I just had to figure it out.
Right. Well, that's a big difference, too. And there's not everything you can Google. And I mean, anytime there's something to do, whether, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to make cake pops. You can YouTube anything right now. You know, you just YouTube it. How to change a tire to making cake pops. It's just like everything they want. It's immediate information.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But they're taking the human factor out of it, which is what can,
which is asking your mother-in-law for advice.
Exactly. But, you know, going back to what the original listener sent in to us, the jabs, this is what I kind of feel like she might be talking about a little bit too. And I've experienced this in a different way, but not with my mother-in-law, but my father, my mom passed away, my dad got married.
Okay.
So I feel a little bit like this kind of thing I'm going to explain could go with that stepmom and mother-in-law. But like, so if you're making something, I'm making something for my dad for dinner, my mother-in-law might say, now, you know, he doesn't like onions. Okay. That immediately gets me like, so if they did it about my son, I'd be like, I've known him since he, you know, came out of the birthing canal. I mean, I know he doesn't like onions. And then you want to go, you will never know him. Like, I know him. Well, you know, and that's what I'm screaming in my head. Not at my dad's wife, but I'm just saying as a daughter or as a mother-in-law, I could see the daughter, my new daughter-in-law coming over and saying things like, oh, you know, Kenny doesn't like to watch basketball. Really? Oh, like I wouldn't know he doesn't like to watch basketball. I think I know my son. You know, that's where I feel like I'm going to get this territorial competitive thing going. Oh, my gosh.
So this is your option, though.
Okay.
You can do territorial and competitive.
I could.
And you can be, and you would
rock it. That sounds like something that should be in the Olympics.
Believe me. Or you can do what I plan to do.
Okay.
Which is, like, because my son does not like onions. So say someday he's married and they're over and I'm making dinner and his lovely young bride says, oh, you know, Beau doesn't like onions. I will honestly turn around, clutch my heart. Poe, when did you stop liking onions? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're going to really do this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like,
oh, you're being... Oh, I'm sorry. How did this show start? Was it passive? Aggressive?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just
I'm going to choose the aggressive stance.
Okay, yeah.
Is what I'm saying. I'm going to be like, oh, my God. I remember when we used to eat chocolate-covered onions.
Yeah.
And then we go out and we'd grill onions over the fire pit. And now you don't like him anymore? What has she done to you?
Okay, good. Well, this is good. Thank you for the advice.
Because really, that is how insane that statement is. So I think it deserves a totally insane response.
But they think that they're just, you know, looking out for their best interests. Like, you know, and this has been the same with like a salad dressing one time, you know, oh, so-and-so likes Thousand Island. I was like, yeah, he has his whole life. Like, I know this stuff.
I can honestly say I have never, ever, I never, while she was alive, reminded my mother-in-law of anything about my husband.
No.
No. I assume she knew, even though I found out later, she really wasn't paying that much attention.
Oh, see? Well, okay. And you know what? In the defense that maybe people think the same about me. Like, she doesn't even remember, you know, where she went yesterday. How's she going to remember he doesn't like onions?
I think that was a thing of, like, 70s parents. Like, you're younger than I am, but I remember our parents would send us outside and say, come back when it was dark.
Oh, for sure.
They had no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
If we didn't like onions, they didn't know.
Yeah.
I remember I became a vegetarian in high school because my mother was such a bad cook.
Oh.
And I got tired of eating her crappy meatloaf. So I declared that I was a vegetarian.
That might also be passive aggressive, isn't it? Rather than just saying, I don't like your cooking, you're going to change your whole lifestyle to avoid a meatloaf.
Well, what am I going to say? It's my mother. I have to live in this house. She's the person who's preparing the meals. I've got no choice.
This is so funny.
It was, I'm a vegetarian because I don't believe in eating meat.
But when you have these mother-in-laws that, you know, that you're having a tough time with or feeling they're taking jabs at you, just remember this. They love your son.
And
they want you guys
to
be happy. So the best advice I can give is just to sometimes make a joke, not maybe as dramatic as Stacey's performance, but maybe a little, you know, oh, yep, I clearly remember that. But the other thing is just to breathe. Breathe and know they mean good. They're not a bad person. Just like the listener said, she's a good person. You know she's a good person. This is a new thing for her, too. Just let her enjoy the time and say what she wants about her son and just breathe in and breathe out and know that you're spending the bulk of your time with him and she sees him only now for little bits of time before she had him.
100%. And I can say this, too. One day, she's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I miss her. Mm-hmm. I do miss her.
Yeah.
Like we did eventually have our relationship, our own relationship with our own parameters. And eventually you are going to miss her.
Yes.
Even if it feels rocky, even if it feels like never,
yeah.
You will eventually
she
miss her.
She is a part of the family.
Yes, we still want to hear what you think. If you've got more to contribute about mother-in-laws, if you've got more stories, we do love them, you know, like the IT woman. Check out our website, stacyandlynnpodcast.com. It's got all the ways you can reach us via social media. It's got our telephone number where you can text us, stacyandlynnpodcast.com. And thanks for tuning in.